51551. We were talking on Monday, Tuesday to this whole GP scenario where it began with people saying, why can't you get a GP visit anymore? Which seems to be true. A phenomenon that has ended in Ireland, GP home visits in the main. And the scenario then was raised by Matt Kiley, a doctor down in Anacrotty in Limerick, and he was saying that the reason is 500 doctors this year alone have gone to Australia. Now, Padraig Donovan has contacted us. Padraig, good evening. I know it is in Australia. When did you go to Australia and why?
So I went, I flew out last Thursday.
Okay.
Last Tuesday. Yeah, and I basically flew out just because I was so sick. I've only practiced medicine for a year in Ireland, and I was so horrifically burnt out after it that I just kind of forfeited. I took what was essentially the cowardly way out and went to Australia.
The cowardly way out? Why do you say that about yourself?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm only joking. Yeah, but everyone's okay.
So you're working as a doctor for a year, and tell us, what type of work were you doing?
So in your first year of medicine, after medicine, you do kind of four rotations. Okay. So I was contracted to do 39 hours a week. I kind of worked somewhere between 80 and 85 hours a week.
Wow.
It was horrific. It was really, really bad. You were just doing, all the bits and bobs, going and seeing people, kind of generally the first person to see people on call, 24-hour shifts. Just being wrecked all the time, really moody all the time, getting bleeped up your eyeballs all the time. Everyone was looking for you. Everyone was cross at you because, you were... I remember days where I was the only member of my team in. I was to do all the work of, five or six people. It obviously wasn't sustainable.
And, Padraig, why did you pick Australia then? Obviously, you researched it.
Yeah, so it's bizarre. So the working conditions are infinitely better. I can't even describe. Mm-hmm. So here we work 40 hours a week, and no more. And if you work a minute more, your consultant gets in trouble. When I actually looked into it, we get paid €15,000 extra to work here for the year. All your pay is accounted for. And you just don't have as much responsibility. You're not the only one running around. Mm-hmm. It's all a lot more manageable. There seems to be a lot more. Well, the staffing is just brilliant. The staffing is insane. We were at induction there. We were at induction the other day, and it was so funny. There was in the room. There was maybe 14 doctors of my grade about to start, and there was 12 Irish and two Australians. And giving the presentation. She was telling us about the system, and all the Irish people are like, that can't be right. There can't be five
good
people
God.
Doing this job.
An induction at one induction course for one hospital, there was 14 medics starting, and 12 of them, 90% were from Ireland, 85%.
Oh, yeah.
That is incredible. No. And did you get chatting to any of them, Padraig? In terms of why they left. Any of the Irish?
We've all left for the same reason. Yeah. I've moved out with a load of my friends and, people who really love home and really love Ireland and who really, really wanted to stay in Ireland. But it just wasn't sustainable. Obviously, the work was horrific, but then, with the housing crisis and et cetera, we just couldn't stay feasibly. Because, you could never set up life in Ireland.
Yeah. And do you want to tell me what your take-home was? You don't have to. What your take-home was after tax?
After tax, we were always emergency taxed. So we always lost loads of our money because of the rotational nature of medicine. But I think we were making somewhere between, sometimes I made €1,800 a month after working 65 to 80 hours. After getting emergency tax and money that I had to fight to get back, but sometimes you could make about €3,000.
Mm-hmm. And you say to us, you may notice that my take-home pay is less than or equal to the average rent in Dublin.
Rent in Dublin, and don't worry, I've said that. I've said that many times. Yeah.
So where are you living in?
Very demoralizing.
Where are you living in Australia?
So So we've just moved into what I can only describe as a mansion. It's actually, I feel
like a mansion.
We were awestruck. We were awestruck when we walked into the house today. Beautiful home for less than we were paying in Dublin.
Good gas.
And like we lived outside the M50 in like a very bog standard gas.
Yeah. And how long do you, insofar as you can predict, how long do you think you'll stay for, Porrick?
So I'm definitely of the persuasion that I'll be staying indefinitely.
Okay.
I'm just in no rush to get back and work for the HSE after the way my year, the first year graduates were treated, and just seeing like the exhaustion that, you know, the more senior doctors at the SHOs, regs, and consultants were treated. I can't imagine why I would go back. You know, there's no allure to going back.
Yeah. I'd be very interested, because I think, did you not talk to us before about you were threatening to leave? Now you've done it.
Yeah. No, I was kind of like, one of these people where I can't.
You're so demoralised.
I was so fed up. Yeah, no, I think back then I'd worked 19 calendar days in a row.
I remember that, yeah.
So
you were wrecked.
Yeah, I worked a full week in a peripheral hospital, then on the Sunday I had to move back to Dublin, worked the full week. Then I got a call on Friday evening from the HR department in the Dublin hospital saying that I had to work a 24-hour shift on Saturday because someone else had called in sick. And I said, absolutely not, I'm wrecked, I won't do it. So they were like, Graham, not a bother, look. I was like, look, keep me in the loop though, because I just, you know, I wouldn't like to see that anyone else stuck.
Yeah.
So they were like, yeah, Graham, not a bother, 5 o'clock comes by, no one calls me. I try to get onto the HR department to say, please, like, you know, I need to know, am I shafting someone essentially? So basically I walk into work Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, being like, God, I wondered if they got cover for me or not. And they didn't, and I just ended up working the 24-hour shift. And then, so finished 8 o'clock Sunday morning, and then was back in work on Monday. And I, you know, was kind of bargaining with my HR department.
You're a danger to yourself and to others.
No, it was horrific. It was horrific. I actually, very melodramatic, and put in an incident report about myself.
Okay.
I said, hi, I'm after working this amount of hours. You know, I'm not fit to work. It was a really critically low point in my life. Mm. The way I ended up getting time off is I went into my consultant, who was absolutely lovely. I have to say the clinical staff in the HSE really put up with too much. So I went into my consultant and I said, hi, look, this is the kind of unfortunate situation that I have been put into from call and just with changeover and stuff. And I just felt so low. And I said, I just really can't do this anymore. And she then very graciously gave me a week off for stress leave. It was horrific.
And when you self-reported an incident, is that a particular incident? I don't want the details, obviously, but you're saying you reported yourself.
Yeah, so I just put in, you know, because I was like we all have private indemnity coverage, you know.
Yeah.
I just am quite aware that if anything was to have happened,
yeah, of course,
so
yeah,
obviously,
yeah,
like nothing did, but I just don't. I don't feel like if anything had happened there that, I don't know, maybe, I don't know who from the HSE would have said, look, not a bother, that was actually our bad. He was going to make a mistake. I was like, well, I wanted noted that I fought this. I said I shouldn't be working 19 days. I didn't want anyone to be, any patient.
You wanted to be put on the record, if God forbid something happened, thankfully it didn't, that you wouldn't be able to be blamed.
Yeah. It was essentially my thing. I got an email from HR being like, you can't, you know, that's not an appropriate thing to do. And I said, then what's appropriate? Essentially a near miss, because something could have happened.
Okay. And did you get a sense from the other Irish that were at the 12, the other 11, the 12 apostles that went out from Ireland? Did you get a sense from the other 11, Pori, that are they there for the long term in Australia?
So there's a good few of us who are. There's a lot of people who are kind of humming and hawing, then I think kind of have seen the lifestyle over here and maybe will stay a little bit longer than 2 years. That's kind of the general thing. Most people come out for about 2 years.
Okay.
There is a good few who are planning on staying.
Okay. Well, look after yourself, Porrick, and thanks indeed for that. By the way, did you ever get your emergency tax back?
So we did eventually.
You're entitled to that.
Like to point out, we did. One of the girls who actually just landed today, I just collected her from the airport, was working, and she's fighting for emergency tax back now. I think she's losing about half her wage in whatever hospital
crazy,
she was in.
Crazy.
But we didn't get it. We didn't get our €1,000 either, which were a bit.
Yeah. Well, we're told that's to do with payroll and administration and the fact that it's coming from.
Oh no! So the first year doctors aren't entitled to it.
Oh, I didn't know.
I finished my job. So you had to be working 2 weeks before we started working to be entitled to it. So my first job was in the COVID ward, and I only did COVID medicine for 3 months, and it was between the second and the third wave. And no, we're not entitled to like a cent.
Oh, God. Okay, Páraic.
Yeah, no.
Well, listen, Páraic, above all, Australia's lucky to have you. And stay well and stay in touch as well. That's Páraic Donovan in Australia. Joe at RTE.ie. Remember, we're in the Faith Lake Hotel in Waterford for Funny Friday on Friday week.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe at RTE.ie. Tony, you have one idea for all the Irish doctors going to Australia. As I said, nearly 500 this year alone, we're told. And we heard from Páraic there, his induction lecture in his hospital 5 days ago. 14 new medics, 12 of them from Ireland. Tony.
Joe, not surprising, really. I suppose we have a vicious circle here in Ireland. The HSE say that it takes €300,000 to train a doctor through our system.
Yeah.
So we take in some fabulous people, we give them great training, costs us €300,000, and then usually within a year or so, they go off to Australia, New Zealand, America, all the usual places, but Australia's a big one. So the Australians pay them $15,000 a year more. It's a very good deal for Australia. They have saved a fortune training their doctors, so they can pay them a relatively small amount more, and they get all the benefits without any of the costs. Now, the other side of that is, because we are losing so many doctors,
mm-hmm.
our hospitals and our GPs are under extreme pressure,
yeah.
and they are fabulous people in there, absolutely working themselves into the ground. But we have created this problem by our approach.
What are you proposing?
Well, I believe if you are given entry to a medical degree course to be trained as a doctor in Ireland, you should be committed to a minimum of 5 to 10 years working in the system after you've qualified. That way, we could recover the cost.
So you wouldn't be allowed to leave the country?
Joe, it's like any other contract you've signed up to. There is a
Social workers, engineers, journalists, architects, other technicians that go through third level, they're not obliged to stay in Ireland.
No, they're not obliged to stay in Ireland, but if you take engineers, many of them do. Social workers, we certainly have a challenge with social workers. We don't have enough of them. But people are dying, Joe.
What is the penalty then if someone, a doctor decides, well, my partner's in Australia, I'm going out. What happens? You're going to stop them at Dublin Airport?
Well, what I would do is, you're signing up to a degree course. You're not being charged for the degree course. We're spending €300,000.
Well, you're paying €3,000 a year, aren't you?
Joe, we'll take away the €3,000. It's inconsequential as regards the training cost of a doctor.
Now you can see, you can say that for a lot of courses, but anyway.
Absolutely.
That's third level, yeah.
The doctors, the shortage of doctors, it's a massive problem, Joe, and it's getting worse. And we are expecting the health service to deliver quality service.
Yeah, but the health service also has people. Sorry if we're going across you, Tony.
Yeah.
The health service also has doctors who weren't born here, born in India or Nigeria or Somalia or whatever.
Exactly.
You're saying we shouldn't allow them in, we should send them back to India?
Absolutely not.
So what's good for the goose is not.
No,
good for the Gandhi.
The point of making that, Joe, is it is wonderful that people come to our country to give us medical service. However, the concern I would have, those people are probably needed far more in their own countries, particularly third world doctors who come here. They have even less doctors than we have.
How can you force people to be somewhere they don't want to be.
Joe, what I'm saying here is, if you want to do a medical degree, you can do it in Ireland, and you have to stay here for 5 years. If you don't want to stay the 5 years and you have the money to do the medical degree, go somewhere else and do your medical degree and work wherever you like. This is too serious, Joe. I know it's fairly radical and it's quite severe, but what is the alternative?
The alternative is to live and is to make the job more attractive here, to make the tax system more attractive. You can't change the weather, obviously.
Yep.
To make accommodation more affordable.
Well,
it's not simple. It's not simple. It's not simple. And you could argue as well that doctors from India, Nigeria, Somalia, Canada, wherever they come here, they're increasing some of their knowledge, and hopefully they will go back and bring. You know, that's what consultants do. They go away for experience, and it's you can't buy that stuff. So
we're talking about junior doctors being worked to the bone. And the point you're making, I have no issues with making the tax systems more attractive or their salaries more attractive. But the point I made was, it's 300 grand to train a doctor. You give that 300 grand to Australia, they can pay a doctor 15 grand or more for 20 years. You're making us uncompetitive and making Australia more competitive.
Yeah.
That's why they're going. And also because of the workload. So it's
I understand that's why they're going, but I'm saying how can you physically stop them, and how can you get them back?
Joe, the vast majority of people, when they sign up to something, will honour it. Now, medicine is open technically to everybody, but we both know that many of the doctors who are training come maybe from a higher social level with higher salaries, where the parents can afford the high cost of rental in Dublin.
Well, it's not just a high cost, it's that the parental support and everything you hear for Christmas mentioning that are in better off families, that isn't in working class families, books, education, grinds,
correct,
knowledge, contacts, network, etc., etc. But you still need 625 pints.
Right. Now, the pints, Joe, the bottom line here is you don't need 625 pints to be a doctor.
Yeah, I know that. But under the current system, you need 625.
Absolutely. And, Joe, the current system is broken.
Okay, everything is broken. I know. But stay with us, Tony. Parik Donovan, do you want to comment on that? Would that stop you going to Australia?
Yeah. No, I suppose it probably wouldn't. I just don't think the answer to doctors giving out that medicine is so demoralising in Ireland is to add more punitive measures. Do you know what I mean? I just don't think that would do anything for people. I totally understand that, the fees for Dublin or the fees for, any university are 3 grand. But, when I worked it out with my parents, and I was really fortunate, I was exceptionally privileged. My parents paid for my education and my accommodation when I was in Dublin. So that gentleman is, dead right. There's a certain element of privilege in medicine that can't, we can't forget about. But I think it worked out 12 to 13 grand to put me through college a year. So it's really, really expensive. Probably not more expensive than it is for other courses. And then just on top of that, as he mentioned, staying 5 years, I don't think people realise after you've gotten into medicine, which is exceptionally competitive to get into, you then have to go on to training schemes, which you're even more competitive to get into. They're hot. You can't get onto them. So say for someone like me, what I want to do in the end is palliative care. I would love to do hospice care. Ireland trains 2 people in palliative care a year, and it's exceptionally hard to get onto. When we leave Ireland, we're also thinking of these, our futures, what we're going to do, how we're going to train in the future. I just think it would be silly for me to go home and try to train in palliative care at home because I know I won't get on the scheme.
Is there a possibility that if you get on a palliative care scheme in Australia, you might, obviously, fantastic experience and knowledge and learning, you might bring it back to Ireland?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I suppose, if you were to get onto a scheme in Ireland, then you are obliged to stay. The training is in Ireland. So there is an element of you are obliged to stay. We're obliged to stay a year after we do our degree. Then if you were to you know, if you want to say become a gastroenterologist consultant, you have to do the BST, which is 2 years where you're obliged to do in Ireland, and then I think it's another 4 or 5 years, which you're again obliged to do in Ireland. So we are obliged to stay. You know, so I don't quite understand what exactly
Joe, can
the
I
other
ask
gentleman means.
A question?
Yes, please, Tony.
Right.
Yes.
Joe's saying, fortunately, he kind of got his legs straightened. He seems to have an empathy and he's a good communicator.
Mm-hmm.
But, and he wanted to be a doctor, which is really important. So, say 6 or 7 years ago when Porrick was thinking of doing a medicine degree, if somebody had said to you, Porrick, you can only do this degree if you stay for 5 years in Ireland post-training, and we will take the total cost. Now, the costs are the figures issued by the HSE. The fee costs do not cover the cost of the course. It's the actual cost to deliver the course over the period is $300,000. So would you have then decided to do something else?
Should suffer.
But no, I'm asking you a question. Would you have decided to do medicine if that was a condition of doing the course? Or would you just say, I'll do something else?
Yeah, I don't know. It's always... I probably would have done something else, if I'm quite frank.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough.
So then we'd have less doctors.
No, I don't.
Joe O'Reilly. I'll come back to you in a sec, Tony.
Okay.
Joe O'Reilly, your point, please. Now, is this
a point there,
practical?
Like, you know what I mean? When a doctor trains here, the state pay for everything. If you train in Australia,
well, the state is a taxpayer.
That's right, the taxpayer. Yes. There's taxpayer in Ireland pays for it. If you train in Australia, you must stay for 4 or 5 years. You cannot leave.
Are you sure?
I'm nearly certain. If you
let me fact check that upstairs.
Okay, check it up. Now, if you're training in Dubai, you must stay for 10 years.
So what's your suggestion?
Our guys are leaving. It should be the same. Contract should be the same.
You see, you can't have that. We're in the EU. Freedom of movement. Australia isn't in the EU. Dubai isn't in the EU.
If you train in the UK, or if you train in America, we won't want to change in the EU then.
Well, there's freedom of movement. The UK aren't
in the EU. Our profession.
Say again, we want to change what?
If you train as a doctor,
yeah,
and the state provide finance for you,
yeah,
the taxpayers entitled to that money back by working for the state.
Well, for nothing, like?
No, for a salary.
Yeah, and they'll pay tax on that salary.
That's okay, but they have to pay back what
they
cost.
And the more salary they get, the more tax they pay.
I can tell you now, honest to God, Joe, I'm not going to really go down the road anymore. Because
okay.
I went to a specialist. I paid him €300 for 10 minutes.
Okay.
And I was waiting for an X-ray for 5-6 weeks. And I got down an appointment for an X-ray. I'm still waiting for him to get it done the 27th of the month.
Okay.
Nearly 2.5 months later.
Okay.
Like, it is absolutely criminal what's going on here with the medical service.
Do you know what I used to tell patients, because we had this all the time, and obviously, you know, kind of junior doctor essentially at the cold place, and you kind of get a lot of obviously really cross people who are dead right to be cross.
Yeah.
What I used to tell them was always to email your local TD, just inundate your local TD. Very candid, because I promise you, there's nothing we could do. It was a horrific system. It was really, again, so demoralizing to work in. You were just like, God, why are there all these things stopping me? Look, you know, because we go to college for 5, 6, we have 7 years.
Yeah.
We know what medicine should look like, and then we work for a year, and it doesn't look like what it should look like. My honest advice would be to anyone, inundate your local TD with emails and letters.
Okay, back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.